What we lack in city streets in our largely rural region, we more than make up for with hiking trails and spectacular places to experience along those trails. Our first guest today is something of a hiking legend in Oregon. William L. Sullivan has hiked all over the state with a lot of repeated trails in there, and he shares his knowledge in a series of books, most of them trail guides for Oregon and parts of Washington. Now he's retracing some steps to keep the guidebooks updated and keep muscle tone, too, we assume. Bill Sullivan, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Hey, good to be here.
Are you a lifelong hiker? Is this something you've done as long as you can remember?
Well, I guess I am. I started hiking at the age of 5 and been doing it ever since. My father, though, was the editor of a newspaper in Salem, so I was into writing first and thought, oh, I'll just, you know, write novels for a living. Turns out that's harder than it seems. So at some point then I decided I need to actually, my wife was encouraging me to actually get a job. So I hiked 1,000 miles across Oregon one summer to kick off this research for writing hiking books. And since then, I've kind of been the hiker guy. I also write novels, though, in spare time.
You write a lot, but obviously you ended up doing what is always recommended, which is write what you know, and you knew hiking pretty well, so there you go.
Well, I've certainly learned it.
Mm-hmm. So was it athletic pursuit or health interest or scenery, or what was the original motivator?
Well, actually, a lot of it is preservation. And I don't mention this in the books, but one of the real reasons to get out and hike and go to someplace new is to see someplace new, and then maybe you'll like it and be upset if it later gets developed or destroyed.
And do people end up using the books for that? I mean, imagine by now, after the years of hiking you've been doing, that people are probably getting back to you and saying, wow, that was a great place you led me to.
That's right. Yeah. One of my first guidebooks was Exploring Oregon's Wild Areas. It's now the Atlas of Oregon Wilderness. But I wrote that thinking that the next time we printed it, it would be thinner because these areas would be gone. And it's actually thicker now because people have gotten out and care about these places and are preserving them.
So do you blaze trails? Do you stick to existing ones? I mean, what's your usual approach here?
I have my ear to the ground. No, I'm always looking for new trails. And it's interesting now, it's not the Forest Service or BLM that's building new trails mostly. It's mostly private groups. I was just talking yesterday to a group in Jacksonville that are planning a trail between Jacksonville to Ashland, the Jack Ash Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got grants. They're ready to roll. They're going to start building here in a couple of months. By winter, they'll have 5 miles of the trail done. It's not Forest Service. It's not BLM. It's private groups raising money and doing this to save areas.
So that must be exciting to you to think about the fact that people are thinking about, wow, you actually would consider walking from Jacksonville to Ashland and not have to deal with pavement pretty much at any point along the way.
Well, you will be on some old roads part of the way, but the stretch they're building will go up to Anderson Butte, an old lookout site that you can't drive to. And it leads up from a beautiful forest down in a glen. So this would be a very nice hike. Wait for them to build it, though.
All right. Don't try it yet. Bill Sullivan's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the author of many hiking books, including an updated version of Oregon Coast and Coast Range, 100 Hikes and Travel Guide. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe you have some stories of hikes you'd like to share about around the region, or ask Bill some questions about some of the many places he has seen. And he's seen many of them. We'll get into the numbers in a moment. The phone number, 800-838-3760 to join us by phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. Have you kept track of the miles of trails that you have gone down in Oregon?
Well, at some point I hit 20,000 miles and mm-hmm. kept going. So, yeah, it's about 1,000 a year. So,
Are there ever any places that you hike and you know, think, well, I could put this in the guidebook, but it's really not that interesting a hike? I mean, do you ever get that feeling about a trail you've gone down?
Yeah, you know, that's why these books have, at the back of the book, there's a list of 100 more hikes.
Really?
There's 100 featured hikes, and they're ones that are entertaining, fun, and I think can handle the traffic. And then at the back of the book, in sort of a shorter format, but you could enough to actually do it still, are the the ones that just go through the woods and have no views, nothing, or full of motorcycles, or have an unexcavated archaeological site or endangered species, and I don't think can handle the traffic. So there are some very nice ones that I've hidden at the back. I don't leave anything out. except I suppose hikes that are on private property or places you're going to get shot or arrested, I don't send you there.
That's a totally different kind of book, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. Somebody told me they really wanted a book of 100 dangerous and illegal hikes. Those are the ones they do. And I, you know, there are guys who are into that, but I can't send you there.
You're for more of a mainstream kind of hiking audience then.
I guess so. Well, I have the 100 hikes books are family hikes that you could do with, you know, and they tell you go 100 feet, turn left, got a detailed map. You'd have to work really hard to get lost. That Atlas of Oregon Wilderness I talked about, that is more the bushwhacking, death marches in the desert, GPS readings for finding hot springs in the desert or cabins in the woods, stuff like that.
All right, so you are appealing to all levels of hiker. I mean, you could be somebody who's fairly new at this and really doesn't even know quite how to wear a backpack or something, all the way up to somebody who is willing to do the stuff you were just talking about.
Well, that newbie would be going for Oregon Trips and Trails, which is my hiking light mm-hmm. book. And it has easy but beautiful hikes all over the state, but it also has the car trips and hot springs and bed and breakfast, so actually, it's a lot of fun. Travel around, take easy hikes, and hang out at bed and breakfast and hot springs.
Are more people hiking over time, do you think? I mean, when you're out there hiking, do you see more people than you used to see?
I see more people. I'm not sure that more people are hiking, but I was just in Bend here a couple days ago, gave a talk to a room of 80 people, and the guy running it said, "How many people you grew up in Bend?" One hand went up. How many people grew up in Oregon? 3 out of 80. And so there are more people coming, and often they come to Southern Oregon and Central Oregon for the recreation. So you are seeing a lot of newbies out on the trail, but often they look kind of lost, and they're just going on this one trail because they read about it in a magazine. They're the ones that need some help, and I can help them.
So what kinds of advice do you offer? I mean, if you want to take this beyond just that I saw it in a magazine, what are some of the things that you offer in your various guidebooks that are of greater use for people, you think?
Well, one would be the right time of year. I get a lot of emails from people who say, you know, I'm going to Crater Lake here tomorrow. What should I take? I say, you know, snowshoes, you know, forget it until July. So I even have a whole book that's called Oregon Favorites that's month by month the most appropriate things to do that month. So you miss the mosquitoes, you get there when the mushrooms are out or the waterfalls are full. It matters when you go as well as where you go.
Absolutely. There are some hikes that you wouldn't want to take in the summer because the sun is just baking you the whole time.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. We have a call. Whoops. She just got off at the very second that I was reaching for it. Ann, sorry about that. If you still have a question, please call back. We have an email here from Mr. Rene Castoran. Wants to give you the full name here. He says, I appreciate, one, that you reach out to the land managing agencies for info. You contacted me when I worked for the Forest Service, he says. And two, your website contains ongoing trail updates, recognizing the fluid nature of trail conditions. It would be easy to publish and say, yeah, you're done, and walk away, but you don't. Well done.
Wow. Thank you, because that's true. There are guidebook writers out there who do that, walk away. They're not even from Oregon, you know? I'm a fifth-generation Oregonian. I update the web site every day. It's OregonHiking.com, and you go to the trail updates page. If you are leading a hike, you should definitely look at that before you go, because somebody is going to have sent in an update saying, you know, oh, watch out, you need a permit here now, or they've moved the trailhead. And if you are the first person to send me a trail update, I'll give you one of my 18 books autographed for free. I can't rehike every trail in Oregon every year. I'd love to. I do my best. But I actually encourage spies to send in tips, and then I check them out. And because I reprint the books fresh every year or two. But there are still things that change faster than that.
Bill Sullivan, William L. Sullivan, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the author of, as he just said, 18 guidebooks about hiking different parts of Oregon. He's recently updated Oregon Coast and Coast Range. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your stories, your questions for Bill, 800-838-3760 over the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Let me mention, too, he is speaking tonight at 7 at the Geos Center in Ashland. Also tomorrow at 6:30 at Oregon Books in Grants Pass. and Saturday in Selma. What time? What place?
3 o'clock at the Deer Creek Center. You might call them first for reservations, but I bet if you just showed up, it'd be okay. Siskiyou Field Institute there in Selma.
Okay, so a lot of different chances to see Bill Sullivan in addition to talk to him here. You had just mentioned, though, that when people offer updates, they will talk about sections requiring fees and things like that. I noticed lots of changes along those lines on your website. Is that happening a lot where the fees are going up or permits are required now where they didn't used to be, that sort of thing?
No, the permit system hasn't changed that drastically. So they'll add a trail editor, delete one from the FIA system, but that's not the big problem. It's usually washouts or fires that damage a trail, and then there's no money to fix up the trail, and you wind up having some kind of detour or something.
How different an experience can it be between the time you took a hike to put in the guidebook in the first place and the next time you'll check out that same trail? I mean, obviously trees grow or there are fires that come through or weather knocks trees down or any one of a number of things can change on you. So, I mean, how different an experience can it be from visit to visit?
Well, it can. That's why I go back and rehike them. Just yesterday I hiked up to Pilot Rock up here, and the last time I was there, they just put it in the wilderness area, and so they'd moved the trailhead back almost a full mile. And the first 8/10 of a mile was walking on this horrible, rocky, old road closed to cars. Well, with great effort, they have restored that road so you can't even tell it was a road. And now it's just a lovely trail going up there. It's amazing. A great restoration job they did there. And then, of course, this last winter, in December, there was this big snow and windstorm, and a lot of trees came down, especially in the Biscuit Fire area in the Calmeopsis. So you have tens of thousands of trees down across some of the remote trails there. They're clearing them as we speak, and I'm leading a hike into Babyfoot Lake on Saturday that should be okay by then.
Really? From your understanding, how clogged was that trail?
Well, I don't know about thousands of trees, but I think dozens and certain maybe hundreds. It'd been 15 years since the fire, and the snags were just getting a little bit weak, and so you give them a good windstorm, and down they come. That's all part of the natural process out there.
Let's take some calls. We have Joseph and Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Bill Sullivan, the author of the many hiking books.
I was wondering, could you please tell me how to keep the wilderness untrammeled and foster the next generation of environmental leaders?
Yeah, to keep the wilderness untrammeled. Well, the best way is to walk where other people haven't. That's one way. Because there are honeypots in wilderness, beautiful places where everybody wants to go. And if you pick the next valley over, then nobody's there. It's like the Trinity Alps. Everybody wants to go to Emerald and Sapphire Lake up the Canyon Creek. Man, so you get, you know, like a line of people, and they're all from San Francisco, just one after the other going up there. Well, come in from the Oregon side. Nobody's doing that. You go up to Boulder Lakes or Trail Gulch Lake or Caribou Lake, and you're all alone. So that's, I think, one key is to find a new place.
Kind of like baseball. Hit them where they ain't.
Yeah,
go
right.
Go where the other people aren't.
Yeah. And, of course, then there are walking lightly on the land is absolutely critical. You do not put your tent on the meadow you came to see because it will leave a dead square. You have to put it on, like, rock or sand or something, or duff, where it's not going to damage things. You think they'd be learning this? I mean, this message has gotten out, you know, don't leave garbage out there. But it is amazing. There are so many new people to this. I think of them as the Cheryl Strayed's of the hiking world, people who have read a novel or something about the Pacific Crest Trail and decide to get out there, and pretty soon they're throwing their boots off cliffs. But, you know, these people need help. Learn the rules, and, you know, how to walk lightly is partly, you know, experience.
Cheryl Strayed wrote the book Wild, of course, which led to the movie with Reese Witherspoon, which was actually shot on portions of the Pacific Crest Trail, including in Ashland. Did you see a bit of a boost in PCT traffic? Were you on the PCT in the times after the book and the movie came out?
Well, some. I guess I wrote a book that partly inspired her. The Listening for Coyote was the story of my 1,000-mile hike across Oregon, and that was chosen one of Oregon's 100 books. It's kind of become a classic, a finalist for the Oregon Book Award and all that. It never had the financial success, though, of Cheryl's book, and I think that's because I didn't start with enough baggage. You know, really needed to be addicted to drugs
abuse,
and wanton sex, and then that'd be fine. Oprah'd like that. But you know, I think even if you know what you're doing, you can still have adventures, and that's okay.
Okay. Let's take another call. Here's Vince and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with William L. Sullivan.
Hi there. I was wondering if you're aware of any day hike areas that have trails that are accessible to the disabled. I find it difficult to walk on very uneven ground, something, you know, with maybe some frequent places to stop and rest.
Yes. And actually, every one of my 100 Hikes books has a section at the back on barrier-free trails. And there are a lot of these now. At Diamond Lake, you can hike 11 miles all the way around the lake on a paved path. Crater Lake, they just built the newest trail. There is a one-mile trail to a waterfall called Blakeney Falls, and this has benches and it's level, and you get to this fabulous glen of waterfalls and wildflowers that's still kind of new. So you might look at the back of the book for the barrier-free trails. There's lots.
You've been so giving in your books. I wonder if there's any hike you keep just to yourself, one place that is just so special to you that you don't particularly want to put it in a book because you'd rather have it, to a place to visit by your own lonesome self.
Well, you know, there are some very fragile places that I put at the back of the book that are just stunning, but they just can't handle the traffic. And I'll have to admit there was one that I held back for a long time. This was a lake in the crater of Broken Top up at the Three Sisters. When my wife and I were courting, she was like 19, I was 21, we decided to do a very difficult hike together as a test. You know, not always
see
a good idea.
Relationship would do.
Yeah, to see if, you know, this person's as outdoorsy as he or she claims. So it's like 18 miles around the mountain and part of it bushwhacking, and we get to this beautiful lake just suddenly boom, and we look at each other and say, we will never tell anybody about this lake. Well, there wasn't a trail there then, now there is, and she's given me permission, so yeah, it still has no name, this lake in the crater of Broken Top, and it is stunning, but I'll even tell you where that one is.
All right. You mentioned the asphalt trail around Diamond Lake. How do you feel about trails getting that much developed? I mean, it's great for people on bicycles. I've done that very trail. But what's your general feeling about when we start bringing in paving materials on trails?
Well, look at Diamond Lake. Diamond Lake is an area with, huge campgrounds all the way around it, a big resort. It's a place that people go to camp and you know, fish and party and stuff, rather than Crater Lake, where you can't even let your dog out of the car, you know. So Diamond Lake's the perfect place to let the kids go wild on a bicycle and run around, and you have this fabulous views of the mountains as you go around the lake. I think that's just fine. You want to have some some balance there, you know.
You mentioned that you were concerned when you first wrote your book about wild areas in Oregon that it would get to be a slimmer book over time. Is it a fatter book now?
It is. It is. And yet there's still a lot of areas that I include in the book that are not saved. And one of these would be like the Owyhee Canyonlands, way out on the border of Idaho and southeast Oregon. This is a huge and beautiful area of colored rock pinnacles and canyons with hot springs and petroglyphs, and just no people live there in that within this giant wilderness. But President Obama is thinking about possibly designating this as a legacy. Presidents do this just before they leave office. Last President Bush designated a huge area of the Pacific Ocean as a marine reserve, and Clinton did, you know, Steens Mountain. Well, this would be an amazing, it'd be a rival for the national parks in Utah, and a lot of people don't know about it. So there's lots of room to expand.
And I notice you're among the people who make the case that Oregon hasn't designated much of its landscape. Is it 4% for wilderness? So
yeah.
As a percentage basis, it's low.
It's half of what Idaho has done in percentage and a third of what California has designated. And, you know, we think of ourselves as being progressive, but we're actually way behind in how much we've protected.
What is the obstacle then? I mean, particularly with the Owyhee, it seems like, even though you say nobody lives there, and it seems like nobody's making a living from it.
Well, there are ranchers in the area, and they're concerned, of course, and the bill would, you know, the National Monument would work with them. But it isn't really as much local opposition out there as the fact that people just don't know about it. It's just off the radar. It's off the map in many ways. It is the biggest blank spot left in the lower 48. If you looked at a map of radio coverage, here we are in JPR, that is the one white spot on the map. If you wanted to completely get away from radio, go there. You can spin the dial. You don't hear a blip.
Really? Nothing? And is there any cell service there?
No. So if you do get stuck, no one's going to hear you scream. So you have to come prepared if you're going to go out to the Owyhee.
Have you had a bunch of surprises as you've rehiked some of the places to keep the guidebooks fresh? I mean, have you had things occur that you just really didn't expect to see there?
Well, I love going back to some old favorites, but it is fun to see that a lot of land trusts have been buying up sensitive areas and building trails there. The Deschutes Land Trust bought up huge canyon lands around Bend and then built trails there. So I'm really impressed by what people can do with a bequest, you know, leave a ranch, not just for their kids, but for the world.
If it can be hiked, William L. Sullivan has probably put it in one of his books about 100 hikes. He's recently updated Oregon Coast and Coast Range. He'll be at the Geos Institute in Ashland tonight at 7, Oregon Books in Grants Pass tomorrow night at 6:30, and on Saturday at 3 at the Deer Creek Center in Selma. And he joined us on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for being here, Bill.
Hey, thank you.
Pleasure to have you here.